Well, hello. How are you? And you said you're in Cosmos right now, right?
Hi, Joshua. Yeah, I am. We've been on a last couple of days. We started at the paper mill up in International Falls yesterday in Bemidji and Moorhead last night, Fergus Falls this morning, and then coming down through Redwood and back to Mankato. So all over.
I had a couple questions I wanted to ask you about. They're sort of big general questions, not necessarily very specific. The first one is about there are a lot of people in rural areas who have this perception, which maybe you might agree with or not, that there is a very definite split between the urban legislators and the rural legislators, and the two don't always see eye to eye, with the rural people not always coming out ahead. And the perfect example would be the highway infrastructure program recently that ended up with all of the funds being spent within 50 miles of the, or so of the Twin Cities, and the people in the rural areas were saying, excuse us, we pay taxes too. So what are some ways that we can maybe bridge that divide and get people in the 494, 694 Beltway to better understand how their policies impact the rest of the state?
That's right.
Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question. I'll answer it. First of all, my whole campaign was predicated around One Minnesota. And the idea was that there was those that would try and divide us geographically, economically, racially. But I do think it's a fair perception. It's been 40 years since we've had an outstate governor. I believe that this this split is real in terms of how people view it, but I think there's fixes to it by how we invest in local government aid, how we talk about school funding in terms of equity in our schools, and then transportation funding with an understanding that Greater Minnesota highways and bridges are critically important to not just safety, but to economic growth.
A lot of that comes down to voting, where you have a certain number of legislators who are from the Twin Cities area or Rochester and Duluth, and then or other representatives who are from rural areas. And so they really have to work. The rural legislators at some level have to put aside party differences and really focus more on being rural. Would you say there's some truth to that?
Yes, I definitely do. I mean, we're elected to represent the people who sent us there. And the sense of is we have to break down this barrier that we're not in this together. That it's very, very important to understand that the economic growth of the Twin Cities areas benefits Redwood Falls as much as it benefits Moorhead. But folks in the Twin Cities need to recognize that the economic growth of Winona and Duluth help them. And I think it's understanding and not trying to have this just partisan tribalism. It's, again, why I was very deliberate in this campaign about being One Minnesota. And just to be very candid with you, there's a reason that I did not get the Democratic endorsement, because it was predominantly urban. And the idea was that I was from Greater Minnesota. I think those folks now have come to recognize that there's a powerful message with a rural legislator, a Democrat, who's able to bridge the gaps and work with urban Republicans or rural Republicans as well as rural Democrats. So it's going to take a conscious, deliberate leadership. It's not going to be fixed, though, if we tell people there's this massive, irreconcilable difference or that somebody's getting over on someone else. That's not how Minnesota's worked, and it's not how Minnesota will go forward.
Actually, that leads perfectly into what was going to be my second question I was going to ask about, is obviously the United States and Minnesota are very divided politically. And a lot of people are just tired of it. And so what are some ways that both Republicans and Democrats can reach across the aisle and find common ground? What can conservatives and liberals agree on these days?
It can be done, because I've done it in Congress. I'm very proud to have that bipartisan reputation. And it takes the responsibility. I think people have probably noticed in this campaign, this One Minnesota campaign, and all of my ads have been positive. I do not mention my opponent at all in the ads. And that is a stark difference, because I think it's going to be important to model this. I respect my conservative neighbors and conservative legislators. And I think we need to make the case and start seeing that compromise is not a vice. It can be a virtue. I'm not asking people to change their core values. But what I'm saying is that we should be able to agree that we need to upgrade our transportation system. It's rated at C- now by civil engineers, the Association of Civil Engineers, and we're 27th of the 50 states of investment in transportation. I would think there's an area that we could come on some agreement. I would think the idea of education and equitable education funding to ensure we have a well-qualified workforce. Those are some areas that should not be that difficult. And then I think if anybody's out there listening to folks as they tell them what they want, we need to fix this healthcare thing instead of just pointing fingers. scaring people and telling them it's one thing or another, it's a government takeover or whatever it might be is the scary word of the day. The fact of the matter is people need to be able to afford quality health care that gets them quality results and close to home. We have to figure out how to do that. And I think Democrats and Republicans, if you're elected to office, I think what people are, they're sick of the bickering, they're sick of the finger pointing, and they're going to demand results, which as governor, that's exactly what I want to deliver for them.
Realistically, how much influence does the governor have in terms of being able to help this bipartisanship or hurt it?
I think quite a bit. I think there's a responsibility. I think it can hurt it. And I would argue right now that words matter, that dividing, that pointing fingers, telling people that people are the enemy. None of those things work. The language we use, the sense of respect that we show together, and the sense of ownership that I think the chief executive has responsibility for is to try and build that sense of oneness. And that doesn't mean we're all the same. And it doesn't mean that I want either rural or progressive legislators to compromise their core values. But I think the governor's job is to help to be that bridge to bring people together. My time in Congress was always built around bringing together coalitions that didn't seem like you could do it, but bring them to the table to find solutions. I am absolutely convinced, one, we have to do it, and two, the public is ready for this. I think there is going to be a political price to pay for people who want to continue to divide. I think there's going to be a political price for people to pay if they're not getting real results. And so I am actually very hopeful. Having traveled this state now for 20 months, listened to Minnesotans of all political background, all economic, racial, religious background, they simply see Minnesota as an opportunity to maybe go different than the country's going, bring us together around one vision, bring us together to solve problems.
Okay, one final question. What am I forgetting to ask? What would you like the people of southwestern Minnesota to know about your candidacy for governor?
I'd like to let them know that they've got a rural legislator with a proven track record, whether it be on agricultural issues, veterans issues, or good governance and making sure that there was an accountability that has ran an entirely positive campaign that'll be the first rural governor in over 40 years in Minnesota. And someone that, whether it's the Duluth News Tribune, the Mesabi Daily, or the Minneapolis Star Tribune, when they endorsed me, the one word they used was uniter. And I think if they want to get beyond this this politics of division, I think this is the ticket for them to do that. I'll work hard for them. I'll bring us together. I'll respect our differences. But I think at the end of that time, we'll see a stronger, better educated, healthier, more resilient Minnesota.
Thank you. That is Mr. Tim Walz, the Democratic candidate for governor.
Thanks, Joshua. I really appreciate it.